unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captives silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And because in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This may sound like a funny title for a sermon, but I assure you the topic is not funny at all. I do believe that sociopaths are trained that way or developed that way due to their upbringing and the time span of following that destructive pattern. We are raising a nation of zombies or sociopaths today. Country is full of them. Now, God predicted it, but there's a reason why it's happening. Number one, man's problem has always been sin. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. You know, the Jews, they wanted Jesus to save them from their present distress. They largely rejected Christ and His message because they wanted saved from a present distress. There's a lot of people who say, Lord, I'm broke. I'll get saved if You do this. Or I want to get saved because I'm having troubles in my life. And they are lost and dying and on their way to hell. They want to make a bargain with God. They want to make a deal with God. Well, God doesn't play, let's make a deal. Many people today want Jesus to save them from their present danger or future punishment without seeing they deserve to be in a sinner's hell. They deserve hell and damnation. We deserve the lake of fire. But the first verse explains why the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound. What is the entirety of that statement? It appears that where iniquity abounds, love waxes cold. Anywhere iniquity abounds, love waxes cold. It doesn't say it could wax cold. It says it shall wax cold. Iniquity abounding in the life or the lives of people will turn them cold. No zeal, no heat, no passion. I've seen what sin does to people. I've seen what the sins of a sociopath will do to people. I have seen what they will do to women. I have seen the effects of it that it has on women. And it leaves them, or the man, but it leaves them in a cold, dead state. The same effects it leads them with. Christ foretold this time would come, and we are seeing it. When a man is a sociopath, he lacks the love and passion and natural affection. He hasn't been born that way. He has become that way. He's been conditioned to be that way. You know, I wish people would understand how important it is to actually raise your children. All of us, we all fall in a trap sometimes. And we forget the importance of directing our children. We forget the importance of leading them and guiding them and nurturing them. Even at a young age, we forget what we're supposed to do, or we get lax on it. Well, how does a parent raise a sociopath? Well, number one, when the senses of a man are not exercised or developed, when the natural senses that God gives every man, when they are not worked, when they are not nurtured, when they are not appealed to, when they are not exercised in a young boy or a young girl, when they are like that, and then guess what happens? You'll raise a sociopath. Disconnected from all feeling. Disconnected from their own senses. Desensitized to everything. When you numb or desensitize a man, what a man sees, it will turn him into a zombie or a sociopath. If you set your children down in front of Hollywood movies and gory video games, you will callous or cauterize with a hot iron their conscience and could turn them into a sociopath. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Again, we covered this in Hollywood. I'm not going to labor the point greatly, but our eye affects our heart. But you know, you don't want to hear that. Why? Because we're rebellious. That's why. We're very rebellious people. And we don't want to hear about how what we see or what we do affects the lives of our children. When children view blood and gore and nudity and wickedness, when they see it in real time, their mind doesn't see the difference, just cold and callous stare. I'm reminded of a story I seen on the news here just 2 days ago, where three black men lured a white girl up to the top of a building, brutally raped her, and just threw her off of it. You look at their pictures and their mugshots. Nothing there. No remorse. Nothing there. Why? Well, we'll talk about it, but rap music, television, movies, video games, snapped out of no reality, all of it just fictional coming into you all the time, all desensitizing you and making you a different person. But hey, preacher, stop preaching about stuff like that. Come on. I mean, just preach the gospel. Don't preach about stuff like that. Don't preach against Hollywood and against blood and gore and guts and video games and rap music and all. Don't preach against things like that. Come on. I mean, you know, why do you have to get into that? It won't help anybody. That's what one preacher told me. It won't help anybody. War is the same way. They're trained through bloody video games and movies in their subconscious all their life. The Columbine kids, what'd they do? They played Duke Nukem all the time. Duke Nukem and listened to wicked music all the time in their head over and over and over and over and over. And drugs over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over and over. Mine eye affects mine heart. What I hear affects me. Why? It's the senses. When you take the sense of sight and you place wickedness in front of it constantly, what do you think that will do to that person? It numbs them. That's how you create a sociopath. When someone is young and you place wickedness in front of them, whether it's pornography or anything else, and they see that, you'll turn them into a sociopath. Why? Because you're taking their senses, their sight, and you're placing wicked things before their eyes, and it affects their heart. It affects them. You could be training a sociopath when you're not governing what they watch or play. Their eye affected their heart. The more wicked acts they see, the more blood and gore they see, the more likely they will be to be numb to it. If you want to raise a sociopath, then don't govern what they watch or play. Let them play video games that show blood and guts and gore and violence constantly, where every imagination of their heart is only evil continually. How about that, huh? Where every imagination of their heart is only evil continually. What do we see now? In the chambers of a child's imagery. What are we placing in the chambers of their imagery? Only evil continually. So what happened to the Columbine kids? Only evil continually. Evil goes in, evil comes out. If you want to raise a sociopath and give them unlimited, unrestrained access to the internet, you could raise a sociopath. Anything their eyes want to see, they just see. Those Columbine kids were addicted to Doom, the first shooter video game that made you the only one that goes around in a bloody manner destroying and killing everything. It's a first shooter game, so you're actually doing it. You don't even see anybody on the screen. You don't see a guy on the screen. All you see is you running around like this. And you're just killing everybody. Now, from a young age, this programs the mind, and a great disconnect from reality comes, especially when they play those 8 hours a day. every day. All the time. We're not talking about playing Wii bowling here, okay, or something like that. We're talking about murder, death, destruction, violence. Constant violence. You want to raise a sociopath? Just set him in front of there and let that babysit him. They'll learn. It's a teacher. It'll teach them. Amen? It'll teach them. But is it a teacher of good things? No, of course not. I don't believe just video games cause this, but to have no interaction with others and stuck in your own world and playing that stuff constantly, constantly, constantly. Same with movies. Constantly watching wicked programs over and over will numb you to the wickedness. You don't think Satan understands that the Harry Potter and Star Wars and all these magical things and all that? You don't think he knows that all that's doing is grooming them for the coming of the Antichrist? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think Hollywood was an agent of Christianity? Right? They hate God. They admit it. They hate God. The producers hate God. They hate God. So what are they doing? They're working for the Antichrist. And they're preparing his kingdom. They're making his path straight. Number two, you will raise one if there is no natural affection in the house. You want to raise a sociopath? Then have no natural affection in the house. You take a child immersed in violence and TV and video games and then give them no natural affection. First of all, that natural affection should include them seeing mom and dad hugging and being affectionate towards each other. They should see, your children should see that, by the way. They should know that mommy and daddy love one another and that they hug one another. Amen? They should know that. Why? Because they need to see that that's natural. How do you think they know what a husband and wife is supposed to do when they're older, that proper relationship? By what you do now. So they should see that natural affection of hugging one another and kissing one another. They should see that. Your children should visibly see that. Oh, we got to hide that from them. No, you really don't have to hide that from them. It's not dirty, okay? I promise you. Amen? They should see that. Why? They should see that affection. They should see that you have that affection. Because they're going to grow up, if they don't see that, and think, well, we just don't do that. We don't do that stuff. We don't hug. What do you think that will do to them? They won't have any affection either. They don't know what a proper relationship is then. You want to raise a sociopath? You raise one that doesn't see any real love. You don't show real love in the house, real affection in the house. You'll raise a sociopath. For sure. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. They must show that love and affection toward each other. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ affectionately and warmly and passionately loved the church and gave himself for it. And your children need to receive. Your children need to see that affection. They also need to receive that proper affection. Then you get to the next sense of touch. There is a need for all of man. Every man needs touched. They need that. Now there's a proper touch and there's an improper. I'm not going to get into that because I'm not some stupid psychiatrist. But you can see it from the Word of God. You understand what it is. And you understand that natural affection is too. And what is not natural. Amen? But natural touch. Everyone needs that natural affection. Children need to see that. They need to receive that proper biblical affection. Touching is another sense that we have. The proper touch of a father and a mother hugging and kissing their children. They need that. But when you don't give them that affection and no real human interaction, and then you place them in front of a video game system or a bunch of movies all day, what are you going to create? A bunch of sociopaths. A nation of sociopaths. That's what you're going to do. That's what we have right now. A nation of sociopaths. Amen. Don't know how to love anybody. Don't know what real love is. You got to turn them into a bunch of sociopath or zombie-like persons with no feelings, only to use affection for a mean to an end. They'll use affection to get what they want. Don't you ever withhold affection from a child as a form of correction. Now, there's a proper time where you have to discipline them. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is they don't have to be good for you to give them a hug. You understand that? They don't have to be good. No, I'm not hugging you because you're bad. Now, there's a time when they have to sit down or they have to go to the room or they do something or you're correcting them. Understand that. But after that correction is over, you ought to be hugging them. Amen! Your goal is not to punish. I'm going to punish them from separating them from me because they're so evil. I don't want to have anything to do with you because you're bad. Do you realize what you just said? Do you think that's proper correction? Now, sometimes it is, I need you to go to your room and you just sit there for a while. And I'll be in a few minutes. Because maybe you just need to do that. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that they are, that are a hug shouldn't be a reward. It should be normal. It's normal. It's natural to be affectionate towards your children and your wife. It shouldn't be because they're good or because they're bad or because they're anything. For the nature of them being yours is why we do that. Amazes me how people, you teach your children that, then you're going to teach them, you're teaching them there, well, there's conditional love here. When you're good, I'll love you. When you're bad, I won't love you. When I'm upset with you, I won't love you. What are you going to do? You're going to raise a sociopath. You're going to raise somebody that uses affection and emotions and puts people on a chain and plays games with them. Amen! They're going to play games with people's lives because you're playing a game with them and you're teaching them to play a game. I've seen children grow up with little to no natural affection many times because they had none either. Listen, a 35-year-old man shouldn't be able to say, I can count on my hand, one hand, how many times I was hugged by my mother. That shouldn't be a statement that comes out of a man's mouth. But it's true. It happens to men. Do you understand how awful that is? Daughters need natural affection from their fathers. And as they grow up, they need it more and more until the day that they're married. They need that natural affection. When a child grows up with no affection from mom and dad, we wonder why their lives are in such utter turmoil and they can't love anyone. You didn't teach them how to love by example. You didn't love them properly. Previous research has shown that parental bonding, this is a report by a Duke University. This is not Christian, but it's interesting. Even the lost world understands these principles. Previous research has shown that parental bonding during childhood is linked to lower levels of depression in young adults. God said the same thing when he said children, or husbands, love your wives, love your children. You know, there's a cost for disobeying God. There's a price for ignoring God's commands. Says they have lower level of depression, young adults, higher self-esteem and being better at adapting to distressing situations. Nurturing and warmth in early life has long-lasting positive effects on mental health. Well into adulthood, it was found. Oh, that's not shocking. To some it might be, I guess, but it's not shocking. Mothers were watched interacting with the babies at eight months old and were ranked according to the number of times they were negative, warm, caressing or extravagant. While several pieces of research have sought to assess the impact of a mother's affection previous, they have been based on people's recollecting of their own experiences. The mother's affection was then categorized low, normal, or high. Overall, 1 in 10 mother-child interactions showed low levels of maternal affection. 85% showed normal levels and 6% showed very high levels. Some 482 of the youngsters were then followed up until age 34 on average, and their reactions to different types of distress analyzed. These included stress, hostility, anger, sensitivity, and anxiety. And participants were ranked on a scale from not at all distressed by the symptom to extremely distressed. The group was also asked whether they thought their mothers had been affectionate towards them, with response ranging from strongly agree to strongly disagree. The findings were published in the Journal of Community Health. Dr. Maselko, assistant professor of Duke, concluded, "It is striking that a brief observation of level of maternal warmth in infancy is associated with distress in adult offspring 30 years later." These provocative findings add to the growing evidence that early childhood helps set the stage for later life experiences and provide support for the notion that biological memories laid down early may alter psychological and physiological systems and produce latent vulnerabilities or resilience to problems emerging later in adulthood. Thus, the quality of early socio-emotional development may have more far-reaching effects than previously believed. These findings suggest that early nurturing and warmth have long-lasting positive effects on mental health well into adulthood. Let me add my 2 cents. Duh! I didn't need a scientist to tell me that. I had the Word of God that tells me that. But is it any wonder that that Satan's plan is to get mom out of the home? In those early developmental years? Well, seems odd. The Duke professor never mentioned that.
Right.
Why? Because science can only describe the problems. They never have the solution. They can't give you the solution. The solution's found in the Word of God. What they're just now figuring out, God said in eternity. Amen? My Bible says, the Duke professor did these studies, but my Bible says mom should be a keeper at home and love their children, and husbands and dads should love mom and love his children. Why? Because we're seeing the rise of that sociopath. We're seeing that disobeying God has a price. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself brings his mother to shame. You don't love him, and you leave him to raise himself, you'll be ashamed of him one day. You don't give him natural affection, you will unleash him on society for the world to deal with. Children should have affection. They need it. Children should be at the thing, what they see matters. Their touch matters. Them being touched matters. I mean, a normal hug and normal affection, it matters. We ought to be affectionate towards our children. Your children should not look at you and be scared whether you will hug them. Or they will receive a hug from you. That should never be, ever be a problem. Amen. It should not be. Amen. No, that's wrong. They shouldn't be shy to say, I love you. They shouldn't be shy to say that. Your children should. You should tell your children that you love them. They need to hear that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. If you do not speak affectionately to them, you could raise a sociopath. With the Columbine kids, I want to read you something about these young people. What they heard had an impact on their life. What their parents allowed them to listen to over and over and over again. Madman Marilyn Manson is as guilty for the Columbine High School massacre as the two maniacs who pulled the triggers. His music incited the killers to violence. Kurt Cobain is one of the worst Antichrist blasphemers. He's dead now. Since John Lennon, Kurt Cobain decorated his home with blood-splattered baby dolls hanging by their necks. This is the music that this man produced. Kurt Cobain around his neighborhood would spray paint "Abort Christ" and "God is gay." These people looked up to them. These kids looked up to them. Their parents let them listen to this. His first band was called Fecal Matter. According to Mojo Magazine in 1999, Kurt Cobain was obsessed with Anton LaVey. Oh, that's not shocking, is it? Satanist Anton LaVey was the author of the Satanic Bible, founder of the Church of Satan. Cobain was so obsessed with LaVey that he tried to get LaVey to play the cello on Nirvana's Nevermind song or album. The ultimate slap in the face came from Manson as he held a concert just outside of where the Columbine High School massacre took place. Listen to this. In honor of the two maniac killers. Manson said he was sick of hearing about Christians like Cassie Cassie Bernal and Rachel Scott, who died at Columbine. He said the true heroes were Klebold and Harris, who killed all the kids. Shock rocker Marilyn Manson, and famous for the dark stage presence and lyrics that glorify hate and violence, will use the world as a weapon at his in a concert they did. Manson countered local protests against the show by saying he'll balance it with Bible readings so we can examine the virtues of wonderful Christian stories of disease, murder, adultery, suicide, and child sacrifice. Now it seems like entertainment. He goes, now that seems like entertainment to me, said Manson in a statement posted on his website. Citizens for Peace and Respect, led by a local youth pastor supported by 21 churches and teens, a few families of Columbine victims, had asked that Manson cancel his appearance at Ozfest. According to the Denver Post, two death threats were emailed to the youth pastor this week, prompting a police report. This has happened a few years back. These kids listen to Manson and other music like that over and over again. That's what they heard all the time. How much interaction do you have with your children if they're able to listen to that music and you don't stop them? How much interaction have you had? None. Or very little. Imagine if you heard that over and over and over again, that wicked music talking about murder, death, rape, killing, hate, anger. Now then, a home that does not promote affection towards each other. What do you think that will produce in a child? You will raise a sociopath, a withdrawn child that you never speak kind words. Now listen, we're taking it to the extreme with this music, but in a home that lacks that speaking affectionately one to another, that lacks that when that love is not there, when that warmth and love is not there, that has the same effect. Those children will run to somewhere where they will hear something that pleases them. They ought to hear that love in their home. They ought to hear affection in their home. But they listen to people like Eminem, rapped about his dream of pulling off another massacre at Columbine and murdering still more students. In one of his albums, he said, I take seven kids from Columbine and stand them all in line, add an AK-47, a revolver, and a 9, a Mac-11, and ought to solve this problem of mine. And that's a whole school of bullies shot up all the time. Kids listen to that over and over again. And if you think that this man doesn't understand the influence and the impact of what his words say, he says this, I take each individual's degenerate head and reach into it. I just see if he's influenced by me, if he listens to music, and if he feeds into this. He's an innocent victim and becomes a puppet on a string. Anyway. By the way, that same year that Columbine went off, that happened, Eminem showed up at the awards and he was given an award basically for that song that was sung about that massacre. And they glorified him for it. Men of my generation that grew up without affection and turned to music and video games, they turned into sociopaths. There's tons of them out there. I've seen them. They're out there. Why? Because what they hear, their senses are destroyed. What they hear has been destroyed by that. And they only hear evil continually. Only violence continually. I get a kick out of it. Our government is worried about hate speech, but they say nothing of rap music. They want to shut the preacher up is what they want to do. Stop preaching against sin, but let the rappers rap. That's hate speech. But if you grow up in a home, in a Christian home, so to speak, but no love or affection was showed you, the results can be exactly the same. Because I've seen people grow up like that, where no love is shown, and it turns them into a sociopath. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember, a sociopath cannot show compassion because none was showed to him. That love and compassion was not there when he was raised. Your home needs to have love and compassion in it. If you want to raise a sociopath, you'd be a rigid parent with no praise or kindness showed to them, never commending them on the good that they do. They will do the same to others as well. You want to know why people develop a critical spirit like that? They develop it because no praise is ever showed to them. You only tell them what wrong they do and how they fail you, but you never praise them for the good that they do. You always bring up their failures, but you never bring up what they do as good. When children grow up in that environment, they become very negative. And then they don't praise anybody either. They're always looking for something to bash somebody with. They're always looking to one-up somebody. They're always looking to put somebody down. They're always looking to point out, you know, part of your problem is you were raised like that, but you need to get over that. And start to speak kindly and affectionately one towards another and be kind and tender-hearted. It's not an excuse after you've been saved and born again that you should continue that destructive pattern. But some people like to continue to treat people like that and point out their problems. If you're like that, get your heart right with God. You got evil intentions in your heart. And you're only looking at trying to bash somebody all the time. Or one-up somebody all the time. Or point out something they're doing wrong all the time. I don't mean don't reprove sin. I don't mean that. But by the way, you're not always the right person to reprove that sin. Amen? You're not always supposed to be the one that does that. Amen? Sometimes you're supposed to just be quiet because you're not the person that's supposed to speak about that. There's other people that'll deal with that. There's other people that'll handle that. But when praise is not given to children, when they don't hear that from their hearing, their senses, when they don't hear pleasant words and grace and a soft speech that turneth away wrath and a soft answer that turneth away wrath, where do they grow up? With a rigidness and an angriness with each other. A bitiness with each other. A devouring spirit with each other. A spirit that wants to be angry and bitter and malice and hate and wrath. And always look to put somebody down. Always look to point out somebody's failures. Never praise them for the good that they do. Never thank God for the good. Now, we're not talking about reproving false doctrine. We're not talking about reproving that which is wrong. What we're speaking of is when you deal with your brother or sister on a day-to-day basis, and you're so absolutely critical of each other. You point a finger at them and try to find a fault with them and tell everybody what's wrong with them. You just tell everybody what's wrong with them. You seek to embarrass them in front of others. What is that? Sociopathic. Amen. It's the traits of a sociopath. What we hear affects us. If we hear mom and dad screaming at each other and fighting, do your children hear that? Do they hear you screaming at each other? They hear you yelling at each other? They hear you fighting? They shouldn't. You might have a disagreement there that you take care of real quick or something. That's going to happen. But your children should not hear dad look at mom and start yelling. Or mom look at dad and start yelling. When you see that, when a woman does that, when a lady does that, she is harming her children greatly. She's destroying the authority of the father. She's belittling the father in the eyes of the children. She is setting up for sociopathic behavior in her children. Because she's not to have that spirit. She's not to be that way. Now, he's not to be that way either. What he's doing is showing that it's okay if I disagree with you to yell at you. That's not handling it properly either. When a man does that to a woman, it's not handling it properly. When he's standing over her and he's yelling at her. Or he's yelling and children hear that. They shouldn't hear that. Why? Because they need unity. Sometimes my son will come to me and say, well, Dad, can I go do this? And I always ask, the first thing I always ask is, well, what'd your mother say? Why are you asking him that? You're the dad. You can tell him, yeah, but I want to know if he's trying to manipulate me and his mother's already said something to him. And he's coming to me, or one of my children's coming to me, and they're trying to manipulate me against their mother. Because if that's what they're doing, then the answer is the same as your mother gave you. Amen? Why? Because I don't want to set up to where they think there's not going to be any dissension between us. That's not going to happen. And I'm not going to allow somebody to manipulate that or to cause that. So I asked him, well, what does your mother say? Oh, mom said it's up to you. Oh, okay. Go ask your father. That's what she said. Okay. That's fine. What did they hear? They heard a unity there. They didn't hear any disagreement. They knew we were on the same page, and they knew that it wasn't going to, once a child figures out that that doesn't work, they'll stop doing it. They'll quit doing it. When they figure out that that's not going to work, you're not going to weasel through there and try that. That won't happen. Amen. Because if they see, but if they hear you fighting and arguing, if they hear that and that's the way the home is ran through bitterness and anger and wrath and malice and fighting all the time, and you don't show affection to them, you don't speak lovingly and kindly and softly and tenderly to them, you don't hold them in your arms when they need it, you don't love them and care for them, what's going to happen? You might raise a sociopath. Why? Because a sociopath is void of that affection. And then when they get married, they won't show affection to their loved one. Well, they don't love them, so they'll marry him, but they don't love him. But they won't show affection. None. There'll be no affection. And that other person, the spouse of that is going to sit around and wonder, what in the world is going on here? What is this all about? Because as they were raised up, they were raised up with no proper natural affection. And now we have a generation of those without natural affection. This is what we face. A nation, a generation of sociopaths. Perilous men. Why? Because we skipped it all through their childhood. It was skipped. That love and affection, that nurturing, that care. It wasn't there. If you do that, you'll raise a sociopath. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for all the blessings of it. We pray you'd bless the food that we're about to receive. We pray that you'd help us to receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.